Thus will heap up to themselves teachers, having an itching ear, and they will turn away their ear from the truth, and will have turned aside to fables. But thou be sober in all things, bear evils, do the work of an evangelist, fill up the full measure of thy ministry. For I am already being poured out, and the time of my release is come. I have combated the good combat, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me in that day, but not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. We mentioned before that this second letter to Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote before his martyrdom. We can consider this letter as the last will and testament of Paul. There in this letter, he shows us what is his last will. What is it that he really desires to see left behind him? What is the legacy? What is the secret? What is the heritage that he wants his son Timothy to inherit? And through Timothy, to all those who are faithful. And we believe that in this last will of the Apostle Paul, we can see the will of our Lord, of our God. It is the will of our God that we should be trustworthy, faithful men and women in the last days. That we ourselves be faithful, that he can entrust himself. He can entrust his testimony to us. That we will become a vessel of Jesus. Not only we will bear the testimony faithfully, but we will also be able to help others into this testimony. And I do believe that this is the last will of our Lord before his return. He wants us to remember the holy calling which he has called us. He wants us to keep the good deposit which he has continually deposited in us. He wants us to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. He wants us to suffer together with him in this suffering of Christ. And he wants us to continue on, like soldiers, like good soldiers of the Lord. This evening we would like to come to this last thing, and that is found in chapter 4, verse 5. Fill up the full measure of thy ministry. Fill up the full measure of thy ministry. We know that Paul, since the day he was called by God into this ministry, he was faithful to the very end. Not because he was in any way stronger and better than anybody else, but because he knew the grace of God. It is the grace of God that made Paul faithful to the ministry that was committed to him. So when he wrote this last letter, he could say, I am already poured out. Now you remember when he wrote the letter to the Philippians. He mentioned in that letter, he said, but if also I am poured out as a libation on the sacrifice and ministration of your faith, I rejoice and rejoice in common with you all. This is the desire of Paul's heart. He was willing to pour out as a libation, as a drink offering, on the sacrifice and ministration of the faith of the Philippians believers. as he offered the Philippian believers as a sacrifice unto God. He poured himself upon that sacrifice as a drink offering. Here, brothers and sisters, on the one hand, you see how humble was the Apostle Paul. He considered the Philippian believers as the sacrifice unto God. He was just a drink offering added to that sacrifice. But he was willing to pour out for their sake. And he will rejoice together with them. But when it came to 2 Timothy, he said, I am already being poured out. You find that throughout his life as a servant of the Lord, he was pouring out himself continuously. He was pouring out himself not only to the church in Philippi. He poured himself out to the churches in Asia. He poured himself out to all the churches that God had used him to raise up. And not only the churches that God used him to raise up, and even those churches that he had never been there. But you find that Paul was willing to pour his life upon them as a drink offering. Willingly, he poured and poured and poured. And until this day, he said, I'm already poured out. In other words, he had poured himself out in this matter of ministry to the extent that there was nothing more to pour out. He had poured out everything. Therefore, he then said, I have fought the good fight. I have run the course. I have kept the truth, and now there is a crown of righteousness waiting for me. And it is not only waiting for me, but for all who love the appearing of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul was truly a good minister of Christ. But before he passed from the scene, he left his dying words as the word of a veteran in the service of the Lord to his son, Timothy. And his exhortation is, fill up the full measure of your ministry. Paul himself had already filled up to the very full of his ministry. And now he exhorted his son to fill up to the full measure of his ministry. Last night we mentioned, after Paul was arrested and taken to Rome, and all Asia had deserted Paul, Timothy was left behind in Asia. It was very difficult for a young man like Timothy to be faithful under such circumstances. All his life he lived under the shadow of the Apostle Paul. And now Paul was taken away from him. Before that, probably in Asia you'll find there were many dear brothers and sisters seemingly going on with the Lord. And Timothy had lots of good company. But suddenly, all Asia had deserted Paul while Paul was taken away. Under that kind of situation, it was very difficult for Timothy, as a young man, even to stand in the faith. It would be a great temptation to Timothy just to hide himself. Not to say that he will try to recover these brothers and sisters and try to bring back the testimony of Jesus. It was a superhuman effort. And certainly Timothy considered himself as inadequate. I believe it would be a great temptation to Timothy at that time. It was no use to minister anymore. If only I could keep myself in faith, that's all I can expect. I believe Timothy would be tempted to give up the ministry that God had given to him because the time was not convenient. The time was too difficult. You remember even the great prophet Elijah did the same thing. How he came forth, how he on Mount Carmel, how he killed the 400 false prophets, how he seemed to be able to turn the whole nation to God. But after that great victory the next day, a woman sent a word to him and said, I will have your life. And Elijah said, it is finished. He ran away. It was no use to continue in the ministry. No use. So why continue on? He fled. And God said, Elijah, why are you here? God couldn't understand why he should be there. And Elijah had his reason. He said, they have killed your prophets. They have destroyed your altar. They have broken your covenant. I am the only one left. I try, but I fail. What can I do? Let me die. Dear brothers and sisters, I do believe that Timothy must have the same feeling within him. What's the use of continuing on in the ministry that God had given him? It was useless. And because of this, you find Paul exhorted him and said, in spite of the difficult times, when people's ears are itching, they do not want to hear sound teaching. They just want to hear what they like to hear, and there will be lots of teachers raised up to speak what they like to hear. But you must continue on. Be sober. Fill up to the full measure of your ministry. How it is necessary for Timothy to have such exhortation. I believe Timothy was a teacher. When he was very young, in the local assembly of Lystra and Iconia, he began to manifest to the brothers and sisters the gift of a teacher. And then when Paul came back to Lystra, the brothers and sisters in both these places recommended this young man. Even though he was young, and yet he seemed to have a teaching ministry. So Paul took him with him in order to help develop the gift, the ministry that God had put in this young man. And now at the very last, he exhorted Timothy and said, let the gift that has been given to you at the time of the laying hand of my hands be rekindled. Do not allow the gift to die out, but rekindle it. Strive diligently to present yourself approved to God, a workman not to be ashamed. Proclaim the word in season and out of season. Now this is an out of season, but proclaim the word. Be sober in all things. Bear evil. Do the work of an evangelist. And fill up the full measure of your ministry. I believe that after Timothy received such exhortation, by the grace of God, he continued on faithfully, and he did fill up to the fullest measure the ministry that God gave to him. Now, dear brothers and sisters, in a sense, every redeemed child of God is given a ministry. We are all servants of the Lord. It is true that the workman is more important than the work, as we mentioned last night. unless we ourselves are proved to God. Our works are nothing. Unless we purify ourselves from being wooden and earthen vessels to be golden and silver vessels, we cannot do the work of honor. We are unfit for the Master's use. We are not prepared for every good work. So in one sense, it is very true, dear brothers and sisters, before we can think of this matter of ministry, or if you please, think of this matter of service, you must consider first yourself, because you are more important to the Lord than what you can do for Him. So first of all, we must be before the Lord to present ourselves approved to God. But we should not overlook the work, the service, or the ministry. Because God does have a work to do. And He will perform that work through you and through me. So dear brothers and sisters, just remember that every one of us, every redeemed child of God, is given a ministry. We are all called to serve. We are all in the work of God. No one is an exception. We are all given grace and gift that we may be able to fulfill our ministry. You know, to fulfill a ministry, you need grace. And you need gift. Without grace, even if you have gift, you cannot fulfill your ministry. With grace, if there is not the exercise of gift, you cannot fulfill your ministry. A ministry is fulfilled through gift and grace. Grace from the Lord Jesus and gift from the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So dear brothers and sisters, just remember this, that we who are the Lord's, we are all being given grace by the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, the grace is the Lord Jesus. And we are all given gifts by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, gifts are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And with these two, we are to fulfill our ministry. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, you find it is said, but having different gifts, according to the grace which has been given to us, whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proposing of faith. Here you'll find it is gifts according to grace. The whole book of Romans speak of grace. There you'll find how God is merciful to us. The manifold mercies of God. And the mercies of God are revealed in grace. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. How our old man was crucified with Christ. Therefore no longer live I, it is Christ who lives in me. You find in Romans the grace of God that has come to us in Christ Jesus. Grace has been given. And now, different gifts according to the grace that has been given to us. So that these gifts may be used by the grace that is in us. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, it is said in verse 7, but to each one of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Wherefore, he says, having ascended up on high, he has led captivity captive and has given gifts to men. In Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find grace according to gift. Therefore, you cannot separate grace from gift or gift from grace. They are distinguishable, but they are not separable. If you separate these two, you are not able to fulfill your ministry. It is, we can use an illustration, it is like the coat. You remember a high priest? He has the coat of the ephod. And at the skirt of that long robe, you'll find one pomegranate and one golden bell. It's all over the end of his garment. One pomegranate and one golden bell. Now the pomegranate speaks of grace, and the golden bell speaks of gift. And with these two, you'll find the high priest is to fulfill his ministry. So dear brothers and sisters, let us remember that the Lord has given us grace, and the Holy Spirit has given us gift. And with grace and gift, we are to fulfill our ministry. No matter what your specific ministry is, our ministries are all varied and different. But the nature of our ministry is the same. So I think before we can really enter into this matter of how to fill up to the full measure of our ministry, I think we need to consider for a little while, what is the nature of the New Testament ministry. You know, the New Testament ministry has a very special nature. It is different from the Old Testament ministry. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you find the Old Covenant ministry, or the ministry of the Old Covenant. It is represented by Moses. And the ministry of the New Covenant, of course, is exemplified by our Lord Jesus. We are told in John chapter 1, it is said that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth subsist in Christ Jesus. The Old Covenant ministry is typified by Moses. It is a ministry of law. It is in letters. It is inscribed upon stones. It is a ministry of death. It is a ministry of condemnation. It is true that it does have glory. Why? Because the law does come from God. And the law does reveal to us to a certain degree of the holiness and the righteousness of God. Therefore, the law was began with glory, but it is a fading glory. Why? Due to the weakness of the flesh. But the ministry of the New Covenant is the ministry of grace. It is in spirit. It is written upon hearts. It is the ministry of the Spirit. It is the ministry of righteousness. And this ministry has a peculiar characteristic, and that is, through that ministry, Christ is being imparted. Not a law, not a teaching, but the living Christ is being written upon the hearts of those who receive that ministry. So Paul said, it is like writing the living epistle of Christ. In that ministry, those who are ministered to are like the paper. And the one who minister is like a scribe. But the ink he used is not letter. It is spirit. And as he minister, Christ is being written in the lives of the hearers. And you can read those who have received the ministry. You can read Christ in their life. Now that is the peculiar characteristic of the New Covenant ministry. In such a ministry, the veil is taken away. People are being led face to face with God. They can see the glory of the Lord with unveiled face and be transformed according to God's, the image of God's Son, from glory to glory, as by the Lord the Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the nature of the New Testament ministry. And because it is of such a nature, even Paul said, who is competent? Our competency is in God. So, brothers and sisters, let us remember this thing. First of all, we are all given a ministry to fulfill. And yet, this ministry is of such a nature that it is beyond anybody's ability. No one is able to fulfill this ministry except by God. No matter what your ministry is, the nature of the ministry that we are involved is exactly the same. Whether you are called to be a teacher, or you are called to be an evangelist, or you are called to be a prophet, or whether you are called to be a helper, or you are called to show sympathy, whatever ministry you are involved with, the nature is exactly the same. I hope I'm able to impress this upon you. Why? Because somehow we think that those who are in the so-called ministry of the Word, now, their ministry is of that peculiar character. But in other ministries, it does not demand that standard. Now, that is not true. If you are ever to serve God, in your service, in your ministry, it has to be of this nature. Otherwise, it is no ministry, it is no service to God, it is not a part of God's work. Probably, we will ask this question. Theoretically, we believe that we are saved to serve. That we all are given a ministry to fulfill. But I do not know even what is my ministry. How can I find my ministry? I have been asked many times by brothers and sisters. I do feel that I should serve God. But I don't know what ministry God has called me. Now, in one sense, you know, after we are saved, supernaturally, there will be a desire within us to serve God. Now, before you are saved, you do not have such a desire. Your only desire was to serve yourself. And not only you will serve yourself, you want the whole world to serve you. That's your desire. But strange, after you are saved, even if nobody tells you that you shall serve God, there is supernaturally a natural desire to serve God. And if that desire is not in you, I wonder if you are saved. You know, that is one way to test a person, whether he is saved. There are many different ways. Now, this is one way. The other way is, try to pray with him. You know? And when he prays, you know, our Father which are in heaven, he is calling his father-in-law. God is his father-in-law. Not calling his father. But if he prays out of his heart, Abba, Father. Yeah. You know it. You know, there are many ways to test. Everyone who is saved will have that desire to serve God. Because he knows. He is called to serve. He is called to administrate. He knows it. But he doesn't know what. And then the natural take over. And the natural is, be a teacher. Be a missionary. Be a preacher. Because that is the way to serve God. Now, that's natural. And it is because of that James said, do not be many teachers, for you will receive greater judgments. When I was saved, I had the same problem. During that week that I was saved, oh, I had such a love for him, who loved me so much. So on that last day of the conference, it was the custom of those days, you know, the last day of the conference always is the day calling for consecration. And by consecration, it always means go out to be a preacher and a missionary or a Bible woman. And that day, you know, the preacher began to call for consecration. And he just tried to stir us up and said, you love God, do you? If you do, go out, be a missionary, be a preacher. And a huge neck of china was hanging on the platform. And the preacher said, you can choose anywhere you want to go and to serve. Now whoever wants to do that, come up to the platform. Put your finger at the place that you want to go. Now I was a young man of 15 years old. I had been seeking to be saved for a whole year. And finally God saved me. So you can see how I felt. So when the preacher said this, my heart was just warm and said, oh God, I want to serve you. And in order to prove how much I love you, I want to go to the furthest place in the world to show my love to you. So I walked to the platform. I put my finger on the furthest place in China, Mongolia. Well, you laugh at me, but that day I didn't laugh. I was very serious. For a whole year, I prepared myself for going to Mongolia. I tried to get every literature concerning Mongolia. I even considered, after I graduated from high school, that was my last year in high school, I would try to go to Peking, because that's nearer to Mongolia. And probably I could learn the language and try to set my mind going to Mongolia as a missionary. Thank God he accepted my heart. But he changed my course. I've never been to Mongolia. Now what I'm trying to illustrate is this. This desire of serving God is from God. Because you do have a ministry to fulfill. But because we do not know, we do not understand. Therefore, traditionally, we have a kind of concept. As if the only way to serve God is in this fashion. Other than that, there is no way to serve God. And dear brothers and sisters, it is the very same traditional concept that make many brothers and sisters live through their life wasting the grace and gift of God away because They feel they cannot go out as a missionary, as a preacher. Therefore, they have no way to serve God. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has put us in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there is not one single member that does not have a ministry to fulfill. There is no member in the body that is useless. To every member of the body, God gives grace. We all have the life of our Lord Jesus in us. And if God has put you in the body, He has set us in the body according to His will. And if He puts you to be a certain member of the body, the Spirit will dispense to you the gift for that particular member. Can you imagine that God will give me a body, and yet there is no member in the body that is useless? To every member of the body, God gives grace. We all have the life of our Lord Jesus in us. And if God has put you in the body, He has set us in the body according to His will. And if He puts you to be a certain member of the body, His Spirit will dispense to you the gift for that particular Can you imagine that God will give me a body, and yet some of the members of the body simply have not received any gift? God set us as different members of the body. Everyone is special. Do not try to be another member. And if God has set you to be a member of the body, believe that He has given you a gift so that you as that particular member may fulfill your function. Well, the problem is, how do I know which member of the body I am? Am I an eye, or am I an ear, or am I a hand, or am I a foot? Now, who am I? What am I? Well, that is something to be discovered, isn't it? This evening, I would like to make a few suggestions. How do I know what my ministry is? If our mind is broad enough, that is to say, if we are not limited by the traditional concept that own ministry is limited only to this and that. Now, if our mind is broad enough, I do believe that you will be able to discover what ministry God has given you. Number one, the inclination of the heart. Now, do not confuse this with a natural desire. You know, we have a natural desire. And a natural desire is always desiring to do something that can be seen or can be heard. That is our natural desire. So do not confuse this with natural desire. But as we walk with the Lord, as we commune with the Lord, as we follow the Lord, you will find, as you have a desire to serve the Lord, you will find sooner or later, somehow there will be an inward tendency created within you towards certain direction. In other words, you will find that somehow your heart began to be exercised
or you begin to notice, to observe certain things that other people do not see or are not concerned with. But God is exercising your heart towards these things. For instance, suppose you are in a gathering of believers and you really have a desire to serve God. You do not know what to do. But as you come to the meeting, you find that people, probably if the meeting is 7:30, now if they come at 7:30, that is good enough. And usually you will find 7:35, 7:40, 7:45, even 8:30, there will still be people coming in. And because people are just drifting in, you know, here and there, and you will find probably nobody will come beforehand to prepare the place, to put the hymn books out or things like that, you know. And people do not see. They are not concerned. But somehow there is an inclination of the heart. You begin to notice these things. And you try to come a little earlier to help. See if you can do a little thing like put the chair in order and put the hymn book out. You know, it is just by the inclination of the heart. That is how a ministry first begins. It doesn't begin with a great revelation. If you're waiting for a great revelation, God sent his angel Gabriel to you and say, so and so, you are a chosen vessel for this and that ministry. Well, wait until eternity. Gabriel is too busy. But the Spirit of God that dwells in you, he will exercise your heart in a very gentle and insignificant small way. This is how ministry begins. It is just a heart inclination. God is inclining your heart towards a certain direction. Or suppose in a meeting, some brothers and sisters are absent. Nobody notices. But somehow you notice. You notice why this certain brother or certain sister is not there. And you have a burden for that brother or sister. You begin to pray and maybe you feel you should go and see if there is anything you can help. Now, this is the way that a ministry will begin. Number two. As you follow the inclination of your heart and begin to serve in a small and hidden way, the second thing you need to know is there the anointing of the Lord with you? When you are doing these things, do you find that the Lord is really with you? Do you have a sense of enlargement in your heart? Do you feel it is fresh and refreshing to you? When you are doing these things, you find that the Lord is really with you. His anointing follows you. He quickens your spirit. As you do it, you find yourself being refreshed and enlarged in the Lord. It is not something that after you have done it, you are just exhausted. Now, I do not mean that in the service of the Lord, you will never exhaust yourself. You do find yourself sometimes exhausted. But what I mean is in your spirit. It should be refreshed, enlarged. Sense the presence of the Lord. Well, if the anointing is with you, continue to do a little longer. Now, if you find the anointing is not with you, then I think probably you have to look in some other direction. You know, when a child learns to walk, he doesn't know whether he has to walk by his feet or by his hands. He thinks he has to walk on four. So he began to walk on foot. But as he starts to walk, he finds there is no anointing there. Somehow he finds that his hands are really hindering the walking. So gradually you find, well, he walked by his feet and gave up walking by his hands. Now this is the way I believe we can find what our ministry lies. Number three. Not only there must be the anointing of the Lord, but we have to see if there is fruit of the blessing of the Lord. You know, sometimes we can be so self-centered. We think we have the anointing. So by the fruit, the tree shall be known. The fruit there doesn't mean the immediate success. Apparent success. Now, you can succeed if you have a dynamic personality. Some people have charisma, and certainly they can do things very easily. Now, it doesn't mean that. It means fruit of the Spirit. As you serve under the anointing of the Lord, there is bound to be fruit produced to the glory of the Lord. People will be helped. If you feel that God has given you, say, a gift of teaching, then when you teach, you not only have the anointing of the Lord with you, but people are really edified. Now, if the more you teach, the more people's heads hang down, you know something is not true. There's one way to see whether how much, you know, how long you should speak. Brothers and sisters, if your head all down, okay. We have to judge by the fruit. Is there the blessing of the Lord there? Now, if there are fruits there, it is a further evidence that this is an area you should continue. Number four, the witness of the body. You know, as you begin to move in certain direction, even if you feel you have the anointing of the Lord, and you think you see fruit, but if the body is uncomfortable, and the body does not go with you, does not respond to you, you know something is wrong. Now, if you clean your eyes, and you see, and you start to tell the body what you see, and the whole body are still in darkness, they said, we don't see anything. They do not respond, then you know you're not eyes. It's a false claim. You know, the body, you cannot cheat the body. You can deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive the body. The body will tell you where you belong. If you do not belong to that particular place in the whole body feels uncomfortable. And that is the way to judge where your ministry is. Of course, there are other things we can mention, but I think if we notice these things, it will help us to find our place. Now, of course, in the church, oftentimes, if we can fellowship with the brothers in responsibility, that will be a real help, because they in faithfulness can help us to see whether the way that we feel ourselves is really correct, or whether it is something that is not really correct. And we need to be humble enough to receive the correction from the body. So, this is the way that we begin to find out our ministry. In connection with this, another thing we need to remember, and that is, ministry is not something that comes in the day. Ministry is something that has to be developed. Now, do not think that one day you suddenly receive a ministry. No one is born a full-grown man. When we are born, we are a tiny little baby. And it takes time to grow up. There is only one man. When he was born, he was a full-grown man. That was Adam. Adam never went through childhood. When he was created, he was a full-grown man. But aside from Adam, you know, we have to begin with baby and then gradually grow up. Now, that's life. Life needs to grow. And as life begins to grow, then the gift will begin to be manifested. And even after gifts are manifested, gifts need to be developed. Let me illustrate. When a child is born, he has all the members of the body. He has eyes. And picked up something. But he couldn't see. It takes some time for him to see. He has hands. But he cannot hold things. If you put things in his hand, it will be gone. It needs a little growth in life. Before he can coordinate. Before he can use his hands. He has feet, but he cannot walk. It takes maybe a year before he can begin to walk a little bit. So you find that life needs to grow. And as life begins to grow, then the gift that is in life will begin to be manifested. But after it is manifested, it still needs to be developed. You know, the more you exercise your gift, the sooner. So if you bury your gift and never give it a chance to be developed, of course, you will be as one without gift. And that is what in the parable of the three servants tells. The one who is given 5 talents, he exercises, he uses the gift, and he earned 5 more talents. Developed. And the one with 2 talents, he faithfully exercises his talent, and he earned 2 more talents. Full measure. But the one with 1 talent, he buried it. And the result was, one day, even that talent is taken away from him. So, dear brothers and sisters, do remember this. Gift ministry is not given instantaneously in a day. It takes time to develop. It requires your life to grow. As your life grows in the Lord, then the gifts will be more manifested. And as you diligently exercise your gifts, then these gifts will be developed into full measure. That is the way that gifts will come. That is the way that ministry will come. Now, it is true. According to the Word of God, there are 2 different categories of ministry. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, you find in Ephesians chapter 4, God gave gifts to men. And then it says, in verse 11, and he has given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, this is 1 category of ministry. We call this category the ministry of the Word. Why? Because God gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers and pastors. Now, these men are God's gifts to the church. To the church in the world. And their ministry is to perfect the saints. Now, by perfecting the saints, it doesn't mean sinless perfection. Perfection or perfect in the scripture means mature, grow up. So, the purpose of the ministry of these men is to mature the saints, to help the saints to grow up. That is 1 category, and this category of ministry, of course, you need to be called into that special ministry. Not all are called into that special ministry. It is a ministry that ministers to the body so that the saints may grow up and mature. And if that their ministry is successful, what will happen? It says in verse 12, with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ. If the ministry of these men, that is, if this special ministry that minister to the body for the perfecting of the saints is effective, then the saints being perfected and maturing, they are able to perform a ministry, which is the body ministry. So here you find two categories of ministry. May we say one is special ministry. The ministry of some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then you'll find there is another category of ministry called the body ministry. Now, what is the body ministry? The body ministry is a ministry that comes out of the body. It is not a ministry that comes upon the body. I hope you see the difference. There is a ministry that ministers to the body from outside, as it were. And there is a ministry that comes out of the body itself. And this is called body ministry. Now, body ministry is a ministry that every believer is involved. You may not be involved in that special ministry, but that doesn't mean you don't have a ministry to fulfill, because you are involved in the body ministry. Dr. Lightfoot, Bishop Lightfoot, an Anglican bishop. He was a very learned man. And when he commented on this verse, he said, the ministry here is not the ministry of apostles, teachers, prophets, and evangelists and pastors. He said in verse 12, the ministry here is body ministry. You know, we cannot fulfill body ministry if we do not mature. That is the reason why we must mature spiritually. Brothers and sisters, if we remain as babes, we are not able to perform that body ministry. Even if we have gifts, like in 1 Corinthians, you'll find they have lots of gifts, but they remain as babes. The result is the body is not built up, is not edified. There is no ministry coming out of the body. In order that there may be body ministry, brothers and sisters, that is the reason why we have to grow spiritually. To mature is not for yourself, that you may become a spiritual giant. To mature is for the sake of the body ministry. Nothing is for yourself. It is for the body, for the building up of the body. So how important it is that we must grow up. Do not remain as babes. Grow up spiritually by the help of that special ministry that comes upon you. And then you yourself should take up the body ministry. It is through this body ministry that the body is edified, that is, built up. And this body ministry requires every part of the body to fulfill its part. There is no member of the body that can be an exception. Dear brothers and sisters, according to the Word of God, every one of you has a part in the body ministry. It is true that your part is different from the parts played by the other members, because we are different members. If you are an eye, you have a ministry of seeing for the body. If you are an ear, you have the ministry of hearing for the body. If you are a hand, you have a ministry to hold things for the body. Brothers and sisters, our gifts are different, our ministries are different, but the nature is the same and the purpose is the same. It is for the building up of the body. Every one of us is involved in that ministry. The problem today is we depend too much on that special ministry. We let the special ministry take care of everything. And the result is those who are engaged in the special ministry work themselves to death, but the body is not built. Oh, that the Lord will impress upon you tonight that you have a ministry to fulfill. You are a member of the body, a body ministry that you are involved with. Even if you may not be called to that special ministry, you will have to be faithful to that which God has called you. Another thing is the mutuality of ministry. You find that ministries of the two categories work together. There is a mutuality there. And not only the ministries of the two categories work together, but within the body ministry, all the ministries must work together. For instance, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, he said, "But having hope, your faith increasing to be enlarged among you, according to our rule, yet more abundantly to announce the glad tidings to that which is beyond you, not to be boasting another's rule of things made ready to hand," and so forth. In other words, you find Paul as an apostle. He was laboring, say, in Corinth. But if the believers in Corinth grow up and are able to take up the body ministry, then it releases Paul to go beyond Corinth to another region and to open up God's work there. But if the believers in Corinth remain as babes and Paul has to take care of them, the result is you'll find they restrict the ministry of Paul. So there is a mutuality there. If the body or the local assembly really are maturing and taking up the responsibility, the ministry of the body in that particular locality, it releases those engaged in special ministry to reach beyond. You know, one reason why God's work is restricted is because brothers and sisters in the places where these men labored are not taking up the ministry that they should fulfill. And the result is those people had to be kept there to do things for them. So there is a mutuality there. And then you'll find the body, when it is strong and able to take up its ministry, they can support the ministry of those engaged in that special. If there is a mutuality there. And not only that, but even within the body, all the ministries has to help one another. You cannot fulfill to the full measure of your ministry if you do not receive help from the other members of the body of Christ. Do not think that any member can fulfill its ministry to the full, independent, unrelated, to the other members of the body of Christ. That is absolutely impossible. Let me illustrate. Here is my hand. I stretch my hand. The Bible is a foot from me. I stretch my hand and take the Bible. But suppose the Bible is at the end of the road. Even my hand is able to hold things. it is beyond its reach. It needs the help of my feet to take the hand to the end of the room in order that the hand may fulfill its ministry. So no one member can fulfill its ministry to the full extent without the help of the other members. I often marvel at one thing. Though you may notice that I have perfect teeth. Because it's all venture. I remember way back when I was in China. At one time, I was serving the Lord, but at the same time, I did some teaching. And as I was teaching, it happened that my teeth were so decayed that I had to pull off all my upper teeth. So after I pulled all the teeth on the upper jaw off, you know, I rested a few days, and then I returned to school to teach. Now, fortunately, my students did not laugh at me. But when I was teaching, I found great difficulty in giving the right pronunciation. I tried to say things, but it comes out not quite right. You know, I often think that I speak with my tongue. So long as my tongue is healthy, I can speak. But then I discovered that without the help of my teeth, I cannot speak correctly. Now, it is true, teeth are not for speaking. Tongue is for speaking. But tongue needs the help of the teeth. Now, you may say, now, of course, teeth are for eating. Now, it doesn't need the tongue to help. On the contrary, the tongue stuck there in the mouth, sometimes you bite the tongue. How better it will be if there is no tongue when you eat. You can have a mouthful. But try to eat without a tongue. You'll find you cannot. Why? Because when the food comes into your mouth, you know, your teeth is formed in such a way, sometimes the food needs to be cut, sometimes the food needs to be grind, and it has to be transported front and back and forth to your mouth. Now, who does the work? You never notice? Well, it's the tongue, you know. Otherwise, when you eat, oh, your finger has to move in. We need each other. For the fulfillment of our ministry to the full measure, we need one another. Do not think that your brother and sister stand in your way. No. They help you. We help one another to fulfill our ministry. And finally, there is a better way. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, it is love. If we want to fulfill our ministry, we have to do it in the spirit of love. If there is no love, you will find that our ministry will clash with one another instead of fulfilling, helping one another. If we do not have love, we may think that we do not need our brothers and sisters. We can do it much better by ourselves. If we do not have love, the body cannot exist. So, brothers and sisters, in this matter of ministry, you have to remember it has to be in the atmosphere, in the spirit of love. 1 Corinthians 13. Is a chapter that baffles me for many years. When I was a young Christian, I understood that 1 Corinthians 14 is a chapter on love. And I believe as a young, I remember as a young Christian, the first year I was saved, a few of us young people were invited to a church to preach to them on Corinthians chapter 13. So we divide the chapter among ourselves, and each one preach a section. But the more I study 1 Corinthians 13, the more I was baffled. Why? Because I feel this is not love. This is not love. My understanding of love is something positive. Love is something giving. Love is something aggressive. Now that's love. But 1 Corinthians 13, he said, love suffers long. My, love suffers long. Isn't that negative? Until one day, the Lord shows me. Isn't 1 Corinthians 13 stands between 12 and 14, of course. 1 Corinthians 12 speak of the body. 1 Corinthians 14 speak of the operation of the body. The ministry of the body. And here you find, in order that a body may have its ministry, you need love. And the first element of love is to suffer long. From whom do you suffer? From your brothers and sisters. If you are not able to bear and forbear with your brothers and sisters, there is absolutely no way to fulfill your ministry. But a ministry cannot be fulfilled. Because you have to do it alone. Your brothers and sisters will stand in your way. How many people in this world are exercising their gifts all by themselves? Why? They cannot stand other members. So, dear brothers and sisters, there must be love. There must be love. And then finally, Paul said, fill up the full measure of your ministry. It is not just a matter of ministry. You have to fill up the full measure of your ministry. Now, in order to fill up that full measure, how diligently you must be, how faithfully you must be, and how much you must cooperate with your brothers and sisters. That is the only way to fill up the full measure of your ministry. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we are drawing to a close, let us remember, God's reaction to our time is not negative, is not a drawing back. God's reaction to our time is that we may press on. These things which we have heard, let us receive them as trustworthy men and also try to instruct others also. Negative at all. We still have to present ourselves approved to God and we still have to fill up the full measure of our ministry. Thank God He is able. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee that as we are in the difficult days,